Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Queen never knew. And my homie Chili Chew.
We don't do it for the dollar, rather it's Don Calypso, T-Speedy, or Scholar. Make you wanna holler, like tips from a hollow. Platinum Queen, roll call goes as follow. Miss Optimism, beautiful butterfly, double up in the house. Don't ask why, Miko and Miss Choir, songs of worship reply. Miss Computer Lady, Black Man, Abe and I. So go and testify, just call in. Platinum Queen's got the West Coast ride again. Reaching the B.C. enough, Cavito Man got the chat room blowing up, so y'all tune in. Rolling.
Rocking with you now, tuned in to the most dangerous radio show on the internet, on Blog Talk, in the galaxy, in the universe. You know why? Because we tune in to what's going on in the neighborhoods, in the communities, to reach out and at least try to help with the kids, with your kids. Giving underground artists, you know what I'm saying, that don't have deals, an opportunity to be heard. Call in number 347-884-8239 every Sunday, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Ladies, we want to hear from you. Hey Shonda, hey sis, you start the show off, and we'll be right if they hear from a queen first. What's today's topic about?
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Platinum Queens West broadcast. And I am your co-host, Ronan, and I believe on the line with me is the queen herself, Shonda. Shonda, you there?
I am here. Little brother, how is everybody doing this evening? Y'all bear with me, my voice.
She's doing all right. Shonda just getting her singing voice back. So we wanted to come back at y'all with another part of the broadcast, which is Our Image is Everything Part 2. Are you a solution or are still asking? And this conversation, you know, has been passed around, you know, between myself and a few others and Shonda for some time. And it's reached a boiling point now. And for so many reasons, you know, that we have of our own, we're a little bit annoyed with the constant call for action, but it's met with inaction. And knowing that the when it comes to the Black community, we basically have $1.1 trillion spending net worth and wondering where the hell is it going. There's quite a few questions that we're not only going to ask, but some things that we're not just going to answer, but things that we can suggest on doing. Now, what happens after that, that is on the individuals who either take what they get from this broadcast or from elsewhere. Shonda, what do you think?
I'm glad that, you know, you said that and shared that, but we, as a community, as a people, and I want to say this and shout out to Ms. Barbara Rankins, who I know is listening, and her daughter, Brayla. You guys, if we, and let me say this too before, because already I'm getting hit, and I did tell people, if entrepreneurship, what I was asking for was unity. If we have that together, I don't have a problem with it. You guys calling in and promoting whatever you guys are doing, be it your poem, your music, if you have a black business or anything like that, please feel free to call in. But I agree with, back to what my little brother was saying. And Barb, I got you, because Barb helped kids and, let me say this because she listened and she asked me to say this in the beginning so I can get back to my little brother question. Okay, Barb Rankins have a Southwest Care Incorporation outpatient. It's on 2930 West Imperial, and it's a facility where she helped kids and adults as well with anger management, domestic violence, and parenting classes will be offered at her facility on Saturdays. There is a call-in number if you guys need the office number to ask Barb more information. That number is 323-777-0444. We will be calling Ms. Brayla shortly, young 15-year-old girl doing her thing, her business, in fashions. And we'll be calling Brayla shortly, but back to Ronnie's questions. And I'm going to say this, even Brayla, perfect example, 15-year-old, who doing it? Ask him, like, unity that we can't. Why do we talk this and we don't stand by none of the things that we do? Why is there no unification in the black community? Why we can't help each other? Me and Barb were speaking about that, and I wondered, too, this is what made me get out the entertainment game. When you, as a people, and that's like Rona. Rona got a business, and Rona got his own graphic business. And if I have any contacts in graphics, and Rona say, well, sis, or you have a problem, you got any connections, you can help me out, oh, no problem. Give me a second. I got you. But my people, and again, if I step on your toes, that means I meant to. However you want to take this. We have a problem helping each other. Me and Barb Rank was saying, is this lady been doing this for a long time, helping the community, kids, giving back? But anytime black people, you got to pay for this information. Ain't nothing free. We don't want to help each other. We knock each other down when we're doing good. So I asked Barb, anything for the kids? I don't have a problem. Gave her a couple numbers, what the kids need, computers. Let me shoot you some information. So how can we grow and do anything if we got a problem helping each other? Is it going to kill you to help your brother, your sister out with a contact, some information? You charge, you 411 now, you charge for information. And don't get me wrong, I get that. I get that if that's your line of business, but you haven't always been on top. Everybody going to need help. Everybody going to need help. And if we sit here talking about solutions, why we got to stop being part of the problem. We have to learn to start helping each other. It's not going to help you or hurt you to give time, to give back to somebody in need, and however you feel to, you know, to give back. But if you got any connections, can help somebody, be it graphics, be it after-school program, be it at different facilities to help someone, if it's to feed the homeless or whatever you choose to do. Really, that's the only problem I have. And for this 15-year-old to bring this to me, and, I call Ronnie, like, you know, she calling us out on this. I mean, we have to really stop being part of the problem.
That's true. And it does get frustrating. To see every time we have these conversations, you get a lot of people who use a lot of their creativity poorly in creating excuses versus providing opportunities not just for themselves but other people. it's something I'll never understand. And having been, you know, doing a few things as far as entrepreneur ventures, starting a retail clothing store, even I had no idea as to what it came with or what was supposed to happen with it. I had to learn the hard way. And seeing that certain business practices, and not just both from a consumer, but, you know, the ones who provide the services, but, you know, the community at large, when it comes to advertising, you know, seeing people skip and save for the wrong reasons and put a lot of their investments into poorly thought out concepts and ideas. So now that we're addressing this conversation, I want everyone to know that this doesn't just pertain to as far as business. This pertains to every aspect of our very lives. And slowly but surely, we're going to cover this, where we're going to keep everybody on, at least abreast on everything. And be, and, geez, the necessity of this conversation is in seeing how not just myself, but a legion of others have looked at things. And there's a lot of people among us, but, you know, ourselves included, who tend to complain, to always pass the buck and always have this mindset to where someone has to be the sacrificial lamb in order to champion our causes. But nowadays, especially now, we can't even afford that. Because if history has told us before, when it comes to individuals who do put their lives blindly out the line, we have a lot of people that you're trying to help basically be the same ones who offer the most resistance. You look at King, you have people who try to set that dude up, basically assassinated. Same thing with Malcolm, same thing with Legion and other people. And that's been going on for the longest time. And something has to change. There's just no other way around it. You have to look at as far as what we have here today. In many instances, we are seeing people who are losing the concept of, you know, ideas, you know, our history, our principles, what it means to be who we are. All in the name of superficiality. So I'm going to bring in the area code 323 with the extension 835. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
What's happening? Malik Dayong calling from Los Angeles.
How you doing, Malik? Welcome back.
How are you doing, my veteran brother?
My phone is on and off.
My phone is off, you know, but I basically got the, you know, gist of what the topic of discussion is about. And, you know, I don't know, I haven't been around that long, but I've been around long enough to know that working together and, you know, building businesses with each other, you know, that will probably take us taking some business classes, wondering what's out there as far as what's in demand right now as far as product for our people. And throughout Los Angeles and in the Bay Area, you know, people have been, you know, doing it for years. I think the problem is that we have a tendency to treat each other like it's a game or something like that. And we're the only culture, I should say, that have a problem working with each other for some reason. And I just think that it's vastly due to selfishness. You know, everybody's out for themselves and trying to do you in at the same time. You know, I see a lot of that every day.
Yeah.
But I'd say there's a pretty good percentage of people that think the way we do. So as long as there's like-minded people like myself, the distinguished lady that was talking earlier, I don't know if she's still on the phone, but you know, as long as there's you, me, yeah, as long as there's you, me, a few other people like-minded, you know, look at my daughter. My daughter is starting her, you know, photography business. And I made the suggestion to her, hey, the best thing to do is to, you know, for any small business, you know, they're giving business loans, you know. I mean, if you want to, you know, as an African-American or as an American citizen, period, you know, you can pretty much get anything that you want as long as you have a full-time job, you know. You can get a loan to get materials to build a home, you know. A lot of African-Americans are walking around that don't even know what their citizenship means, what it means to be an American. You know, and I think that's unfortunate, but I think that we should start there. You know, what are your rights as an American citizen? Why are people that are American nationals, or even worse, not even citizens at all, getting homes, getting loans for businesses? You know, their kids are able to go to school. Their kids are able to go to the best schools, as a matter of fact. But as an American citizen, an Afro-American citizen, you know, we don't have access to these things. And it isn't because we don't have access to these things. It's because a lot of us don't know about these things. You know, I think that we should start there. You know, before we are black, before we are African-American, we are first and foremost United States citizens. When they brought our ancestors here, this became our country. But, you know, like I said before, there's a lot of us that don't even know what it's like, don't know what it means to be an American citizen. Let's just put aside the fact that we're black for a second. We know the community is messed up. We know that we've had a hand in the community being messed up. But we also know throughout history that it wasn't all us. Knowing that, you know, we should review our history, and we should change our way of thinking and not blame each other and not blame everybody else for the problems that we're suffering as a community.
Well, that's the thing we need to pay attention to. The main part is mainly our history. If you go back and not the edited version, but the unedited one. We know that these people have been across this globe many times over. when they say the indigenous people were Native Americans, you know where they came from. Different shades, just different part, you know, different root system, but you know, different shades, and that's another conversation we need to have as well, as far as with the schooling, where we have standardized testing and all these different means to allow the subpar to feel and be, or give the illusion to being superior. That's what we're dealing with, among many things. You know, with our schools, we should be able to have things that adhere to not just our means and ways of learning, but to our culture, where we really came from. That's the importance of history. As far as your finances, you had to learn how to allocate those things as a matter of survival. We do not have a shared concept of wealth. There are a lot of people who put on superficial airs and are either literally bankrupt in so many ways, it doesn't compute. It doesn't add up. I mean, what's the point of having $300 shoes and you're behind on your light bill, or your water's getting really turned off, or you live in substandard housing, you know, or you don't own anything other than what you got, the clothes on your back. You got people who will pay top dollar for this year's car, but they're staying in a trailer home. That doesn't make any sense.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely changed the way of people. I'm like, hey, look, there's people that are driving $100,000 cars, and they don't even own a house.
No. And that's the disturbing part, you know. And when you have a 15-year-old, which I believe we're going to have on here in a little while, who has more initiative than most of our elders. And the other part is when you look at the ongoing success of Hidden Colors by Drew Nasheed, or you having the incoming film by Jason Black called the 7 a.m. When we have businesses that are basically in need of our support, you know, in our own media, which is necessary to actually promote our image properly. I'm not buying the whole thing about excuses, because you have a lot of people who want you to stand up and speak on their behalf, but have the liberty to put their hands between your ass cheeks and put words in your mouth. That is not just lazy, but it is setting, you know, quite a few people, prominent people, up for failure, as has been stated before. And we have the conversation about what are the solutions. What are the solutions? Every single damn week. And this is a challenge, not just to everybody, but ourselves.
I'll give you an example.
To these solutions. Okay.
Yeah, I'll give you an example real quick. You know, just the other day, myself and good friend Roger Gunn, I'm sure you know him, you know. We were going out, driving around. We were looking for a tire for the car, you know. And we stopped at several places. One of the places that we stopped at was, Hispanic company. They sold used tires. Then we stopped at a couple of black companies that sold used tires. You know, he bought his tires from the Hispanic. And the reason why is because, the prices that the brothers were giving for the tires weren't competitive. I mean, he can get the same tire for $5 cheaper. I mean, where would you go? So I would suggest, hey, look, you know what? Yeah, it's okay for us to have our own businesses, but I see that in a lot of black businesses, we sell the same product for a lot higher price. Now, I know why we do it, but if we can't compete with other people's prices, you know, we're trying to get a little extra on the dollar. You know, our product either has to be top notch, or we have to compete with other people that are selling the same product for a lower price. Man, I just noticed it the other day when we went out looking for tires. Now, of course, we can support our black businesses all day, you know. But at the end of the day, they're going to pay for the same product at a lower price, man. So we not only have to compete with other businesses, we have to compete with their prices as well.
Well, it's not just the pricing. I would also say it's the customer service and the attention to detail, inset services, the will and the sacrifice. And seeing it, because what I've noticed today, I went into two places. It was two gas stations. One, it was a gas station and a convenience store. And who do you believe was owning and running those convenience stores? What's that?
I couldn't tell you. I mean, it's over in your area?
Yeah. There are a lot of Indians who are running those, and those individuals do not care to contribute to the community. They'll take money and put it in their home.
But, absolutely.
You know, you start asking yourself, when is it that we take the initiative to not just create our own, but support our own. You figure the hair care industry. You know, you have the Asians who run that with an iron fist, 90% of it, as we know it. And they're killing an industry that doesn't deal with them. You got to ask yourself, how many of their children have you sent to Yale or Harvard or any of these Ivy League schools due to your misappropriation of funds or lack of, you know, sound business practice or support? You gotta ask yourself that.
Absolutely.
You gotta ask the individuals out here. Like, you figure if you stopped buying their products, say for 48 to 72 hours, maybe 96 hours, that'd be a significant statement.
That would be a very significant statement. I'll take it a step further. You know, I've always said this. I don't know if anybody remembers, the gas prices were like astronomical about 3 or 4 years ago, almost $5 a gallon, you know. If everybody in the United States stopped buying gas for 24 hours, the prices would drop. But so, yeah, I feel exactly where you're coming from. Now, a lot of people were talking about boycotting gas, and not just us, but everybody. Just like, okay, well, everybody take a day off and stay home. But it has to be a unified thing as far as, the citizens were actually saying, hey, look, these gas prices are way, way too high. So we refuse to work and we refuse to buy gas for 24 hours. We would have a result. Same thing with these businesses, these liquor stores. Because, you know, we all seem to hit up the stores, which are owned by Koreans. And half of the Koreans don't even have citizenship of this country, but yet and still they're able to get business licenses to open up these stores in our communities. In the neighborhood that I live in right now, there's one black-owned liquor store right down the liquor market right down the street. One. Everybody else, Asian. But what are we doing? We're going over there. We're spending our money. Instead of keeping it at our personal store, we spend it everywhere else. Why? Better prices. And again, if we would have competitive prices, we would be able to buy and sell more products. It's just a thought. Yeah, well, everybody was talking about, and just like the lady was saying earlier, talking about, oh, well, you know what, advertising. Well, you know what, information costs money, and I agree exactly. What she's saying. If you're going to give back to the community, right? Then why are you trying to hustle your own people? If you're trying to give back to the community, you can't do both. You can't. It's impossible. And that's what I said before. It's just like, hey, look, you know, everybody's out for themselves and trying to do you in at the same time.
Well,
I was going to say, Earthworm Comics is almost up, so Dark Phantom will be available for purchase very, very soon.
Okay, it's about time.
Yeah, it's about time. But it had to be perfect.
Well, and here's the thing, that seeing that it firsthand, and on the owner side, or I've seen a bad balancing of the books. You have to ask yourself, what is your intent of starting a business? If it's for the wrong or ulterior motives, then it's something you got to strongly reconsider. When it comes to providing a service, you have to be there when it's either one customer or 1,000.
Agreed.
There's quite a few who only see a benefit into being there when things are good, but you have to be there when it's challenging. Most businesses, it's not uncommon to experience between 1 to maybe 2 to 3 years. Possible struggle to see, like, where you gauge if you're able to survive as far as a business. When it comes to advertising, you got to really consider your budget, your cost, or what you're willing to do, using word of mouth or, you know, other advertising devices. When it comes to your product, you got to make sure it's quality. And as far as the consumer side, when it comes to individuals who want you to give a homie hookup, when they don't even suggest that conversation doesn't even come up, in other places. I've seen other places bark up things, you know, 100 to 300% on the item tag. And you got people who spend money there religiously with no question. So there's two sides in this. And let me get area code 202 with the extension 368. Which name are we calling from?
Hey, what's up, Ron? Double up, Greg. Remember me?
What's going on, man? I remember. What's happening?
So you take it on the show now or what?
We're on right now.
Yeah, I'm off. You know, I've always black economic power. You know, we need to start shopping. I've been doing it for like the last 10 years, shopping. If I can, even buying, I try to buy from a black salesman, a car, a real estate agent. I try to use a brother if I can. I always try, if possible. It's not always possible to do it, but I do try. And I don't shop in Asian stores because I don't see Asian shopping. Until I see an Asian guy in a soul food restaurant or buying barbecue, I'm not going to shop with them anymore either. So, you know.
Well, I want to ask you, why is it important for you to buy it from your own or support it?
Because the Asians or whatever, they don't buy from us. Have you ever seen an Asian in a black restaurant? Think about that. Have you?
No, they don't. They don't.
Have you ever seen a Mexican? Have you ever seen a Mexican in there eating black food? Think about that. Do you see it?
Yeah. I rarely see it, if at all.
I've never seen it. I've never seen a Mexican family sitting in a black restaurant eating, or Asian people. So why are we giving them our money?
If you don't mind, brother, how old? May I ask your age? You don't have to give it if you don't want to, right? But
I'm 48.
Yeah, you and I are the same age. You and I are the same age, and brother, I've never seen it either.
Yeah.
I've never seen it either. I just wanted to know. I'm like, this guy must be in the same age group as I am, because I've never seen it either.
I don't see it, so I don't. I mean, there are some Mexicans that are cool, Asians are cool, but for the most part, I don't buy from them. And I will buy from them. I'll go Safeway because I know they hire brothers in there, but I don't go nowhere where they aren't black folks are working or owning shit. I avoid them. You know, but Arabs, all of them, I don't mess with all of them. Leave them alone. One thing, they don't like us anyway, for the most part. They don't respect us, so why give them your money?
Yeah. Yeah, like I was saying before, you know, I mean, forget about the fact that we're African Americans. We are United States citizens, and we have certain rights as United States citizens. But a lot of us don't know anything about it. You know, we have to school ourselves. I mean, you know, a lot of people, they don't know that we can get a loan from the U.S. government to build a house from the ground up. People don't know that. But we could, you know, because that's your right as an American citizen. I mean, forget 40 acres and a mule. We got rights.
Yeah, we are citizens. And I think we are uniquely American more than anybody. We were here in the beginning, bro. We were here in the beginning.
Exactly.
We fought in every damn war, even the Revolutionary War. We fought in the War of 1812. We fought in all them damn wars. Wow, this is
all of them. Every single last one.
Every country goddamn war we've been in. This is our. We even came over in the Mayflower. We're brothers on the Mayflower. This is our country, as much as anybody else's country. You know.
Well, let me ask you guys this. Irrespectively, I'm starting with double up. How important it is to have our own media. More than anything.
It's important. Image is everything. Man, we had our own image. We had BET. I remember when that first came out. That was black. We had news. We had shows. I used to watch BET. Remember? I don't know if you remember how it used to be in the 90s when it came out. And they even had a news telecast on there. And they were talking about Africa and all kind of shit. But then they sold it to Viacom or Time Warner, and then it's just booty-shaking videos. They dumbed it down and then it went away. But we can't blame white folks for BET because we did actually have
media. Absolutely not.
And we do have we have TV One too. There's a few black media outlets. Maggie Johnson has one. Spire, I believe. We have TV1. We've got there's like three of them, I think, now. So, I think it's important to get our own image out there because, I mean, these white boys are always going to show us in a negative light. They're only going to show a certain element of the black community. They're only going to show the downtrodden, the poor, the unintelligent. It's the only black men you're going to see on women. You're going to see
absolutely
on TV.
Absolutely.
They aren't going to show a brother like me speaking about anything. It's not going to happen. Either he's going to be an athlete, entertainer, or a comedian or some other shit. Now, think about that. Whenever they have a problem in the black community, I mean, say if they have a problem in the white community, they will get a fucking expert, right? Talk about it, right? Right? Am I right or wrong?
Right.
They'll get an expert
with
a degree from NYU or Harvard. When they have a problem in the black community, they'll get a comedian. They'll get Steve Harvey. They'll get D.L. Hughley. They'll get LeBron James to speak on it. They'll get an athlete, entertainer. They don't take us seriously. Am I right or wrong?
Exactly right.
Malik?
I mean, did you guys hear about the? You probably heard about it, but did you hear about the woman over in North Carolina with the 15 kids? And she got on national TV, and I don't even see how she could fix her mouth to get on national TV and say, "I need help to raise my 15 children, and if somebody has to help me raise these 15 children."
Yeah.
The white media was all over it. They were all over it, and I'm like, how could they air this bullshit?
And then she's
going to fix her mouth to say that, the community need to help me. What, help you because you were irresponsible? You had one kid every 8 months?
Yeah. I remember that video.
I just seen it the other day. I was like, what the hell is this?
Somebody responsible for all the kids.
Sadly, it's not uncommon. You're having individuals. I had one who basically she infected 300 plus people with the AIDS virus. This is a chick from college. And you have a lot of individuals who will, as you said, just pop up out of nowhere and support a lot of foolishness. You have the Don Lemons. You have the Niger Innocence. You have the Jimmy Walkers. You'll have the Larry Elders. These individuals that look like us but aren't for us, misrepresent us on every turn possible.
I have a question. What do you have against Larry Elder?
I thought that's a whole other show. What I'm saying is, when it comes to negative images, those are the images that are granted showtime. Like a lot of time, you'll have like that lady in California that was bounded by a police officer and basically had the brakes beat off her.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what I noticed was who were the ones who weren't speaking up the loudest. There was a hashtag movement called Yes All Women that went ham when that guy went out there in a killing spree because he wasn't getting any female attention. And, yeah, they were speaking out loud and proud. But situations like this, they're deathly silent. You hear nothing. So,
you know what, Ronan? You know what? The media is real slick. When they'll show a white guy when he pops a fuse and starts shooting and killing, they try to find out what was the cause of it. You know, this kid was messed up. You know, he was on medication. They try to find out why he did it. It's more of a sympathy. They talk to the parents. But when a brother does something violent, well, they're savages or evil. They belong in jail. They talk about his arrest record. They come at the stories in two different ways. I always notice that about the media. If it's a white story, it's sympathy, why he did it, blah, 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 blah. If it's a black kid, he's violent. He should be in jail. They're savages or evil. You know, that's how they go about it, bro. You know, it's always that same track every time.
Well, the other part, don't know what image is. Like, everyone, if they didn't know now, you know, crime, especially in the black community, is actually down. It really is. And when you look at it, they had to find a de facto hot spot, so to speak. So that's why they put a highlight on Chicago, or calling it Chirac, for all the wrong reasons. And truth be told, you know, having lived outside of Chicago, it's been mentioned before that, yes, there's a special blend of racism up there. And it's going rampant. See, they'll sit there, and that's the part of the media that, you know, is very questionable, where they're not talking about the 50 schools that have been closed out there, but they're going to mention that there's a whole uptick of gun violence out there. And don't think for a fact. I mean, don't even dismiss the fact that the Chicago police or other entities associated with it are not involved in those shootings and making that area hostile.
Wait, what are you talking about? Conspiracy theories or
what? In Chicago, this last year.
You just made a charge. I want you to expand on that charge you just made. What are you trying to say?
Well, here's what I'm saying. There are individuals who honestly believe that we are violent individuals. Now, do we have some among us? Yes. Now, have I seen some things out that way or around the country? I've seen quite a few things. You cannot dismiss some law enforcement involvement in that area. There's many instances where individuals have been made missing or shot and killed, and they could never find the...
I don't like conspiracy theories, bro.
Well, it's
I was gonna say, I see where Roland's coming from, because you know, when we talk about problems in the community, it always starts with the home, and when the media gets on TV and they perpetuate the dark side of our community, then it makes us seem like we're not raising our children right. Getting back to the business side. Who's going to want to deal? Who's going to want to deal with African men and African American business owners when we can't even control our kids and their behavior? But man, that's another show too.
I don't have a problem with the media portraying the negativity in the black community, because a lot of it's true. But I think the media needs to be more balanced, because there are brothers handling their business out here, sisters that are working on their business. And
agreed.
I think the media needs to show more balanced. So that I get tired of hearing them, even on like watch this, football game, they'll show some kid, he came from an impoverished background, he hailed a gunfire to make it. They just need to have more balance how they show us in the media. Start highlighting positivity in black people. There are a lot, because I grew up in a two-parent household, and my mother and father were married for 50-something years. My father worked. My mother did more. They need to show more of that in the media. Just regular, typical, brothers and sisters out here, instead of always focusing on the underclass. And they do that for a reason, too. Ronan.
Yes, sir.
You know, what's funny, when I joined the Army and I went to Germany and I was watching German TV, they were showing Africa, you know, different countries having conferences about water and about just all kind of shit, you know, from different countries, conferences and governments and parliaments. I'm watching on German TV, and I had never seen that before, like functioning African governments and conferences and coalitions. You know, and it was just weird to me, because in America, all they show is famine and war on TV from Africa. But in Europe, they show functioning governments a lot more and trying to deal with problems. So, I just think the media is just out to show us in a negative light all the way. And also in Africa, they show blacks, you know, they see images of us as violent, shooting, killing.
Well, there's a power in perception, and as I may mention before, going overseas, they perceived us, you know, as a as a black man, they perceived us as living life like in good times, talking jive, you know, over exaggerating, you know, in everything that we do, and in a negative way. And when they saw that we weren't that stereotype, they didn't know how to act at first. They didn't know how to take it. There's financial benefits in a lot of misinformation. Not only does it, you know, set a I said not only did you have, you know, see a beneficial standard in this misinformation, but you see it promotes things such as the prison industry complex and other entities that benefit from this dysfunction. Now, getting back to, you know, the original point, with all this stuff that's going on out here, and looking to not just hear and see from individuals who are looking to be entrepreneurs, because if you haven't noticed now, this is the time, more than anything. You're having more people out here who are being fired from jobs like nothing, for little of nothing. This is a time where individuals have to learn how to navigate the environment out here and become their own bosses. You notice at schools, most times, they don't teach you to be a boss. They teach you to be a subordinate. And that is counterproductive a lot. You look at how, and I say it's the greatest Ponzi scheme out there, which is the 9-to-5, where you're making 10% at best of what the person at the top of the hill is making. So seeing how other cultures do their business practice, they would want to say to come to customer service. When they see something is wrong or they have a complaint, they start their own business. They start a rivalry. You know, with a, you know, you see like a McDonald's, there's a Burger King, you know, there's a Taco Bell, there's a, you know, similar business. They just have a different flavor. What do? We go on the other side of town and or the next door and go get another burger, which makes no sense. And let me take this caller from area code 678 with the extension 387. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
How you doing? This is Dee. I'm calling from Atlanta.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Motivated and glad to have
Stay
you
excellent.
Here.
Stay excellent. So, look, I'm listening to you guys, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Now, set me straight if you need to, but the whole media thing, because I hear us talking, our community talking a lot about how the media portrays us and how we look in the media. And first I want to understand to whose eyes is it that we're worried about how they see us, and two, I think I'm probably only the only one who thinks like this. The media does. Actually, to me, it's a help if you portray me in a crazy light, because if I meet somebody and they're judging me not only by what someone else did, but judging me by what they saw somebody else do on TV, if TV's not real, like it's entertainment, there's not a whole lot there that I take at face value. So if you're that type of person who looks at me, when you meet me and see the Atlanta Housewives or whatever other crazy stuff you saw on TV, you're not really a person that needs to be around me. And I think that people like that need to be evaluated a little bit. Because why would you judge somebody by what you see on television? You know what I mean? Like, I think we got to kind of, like, think, who are you trying to impress? Like, whose eyes are you worrying about seeing this? If we worry about each other and get our own minds right and diversify our own circles, I don't look at the things that the media puts out about white people and say, oh, I can't deal with them because they might kill me and you never find me, because that's what we see with them, or I can't be around them because who knows what mass killing is going to happen, because that's what they do. I would never learn anything like that. I can't look at the media and say, oh, my God, there goes the Middle Eastern people. I can't be around them because they blow stuff up on buses. I would never learn anything like that.
Well,
the media sucks.
You definitely bring up some great points, and I see where you're coming from with that. Now, what I say, the importance of media, a lot of times you have a lot of individuals who do not have actual parents to help mm-hmm. disseminate fact from fiction. You know, mm-hmm. you have a lot of individuals who like to use television as a template mm-hmm. versus like a form of entertainment. When you see, as far as marketing practices or businesses, you don't mm-hmm. see that many of us in a positive light. You see mm-hmm. us in some, you know, crazy situations, or you don't see us to where we have quality as far as with our products, you mm-hmm. know, in mass. When it mm-hmm. comes to relating to each other as individuals, you have individuals, like, not just outside to me, but I'm more worried about it within it, who mm-hmm. mimic the, you know, either the Real Housewives or whatever underwhelming mm-hmm. form of media out there. And you don't have individuals who learn how to tap into the individual or be the power within themselves to be genuine, mm-hmm. to live, mm-hmm. you know, in a productive way. And the ones who do, they often clash with the willing sheep out here. Now, when you have people mm-hmm. who, like, we don't have a genuine Black History Channel. That is a lot of stuff to where we came from is very graphic. Like, mm-hmm. not just what you read, but what actually happened. You know, all these old so-called slave movies, those things are just, like, mm-hmm. cartoonish compared to what really happened. Some things mm-hmm. recently happened within this half a century. And some of it's still going on today that most people think that, you know, we're under this illusion of inclusion when you're seeing mm-hmm. a lot of people who, well, there's a man in Texas who basically had all his teeth pulled out, you know, burnt to a crisp, and mutilated, and no one said anything much. Or out here in these stores where you're seeing Barney's and, you know, you had Louis Vuitton and Tommy Hilfiger who basically say, you know, we'll take your money, but we don't want you wearing our stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about, it is about that balance. It is
the
accountability of our image.
It's not going to, and you're right, accountability of our image. So we can't say, well, the media, that's what they're, it's entertainment. They're not going to tell the truth. They're going to paint whatever picture that they want to paint to achieve whatever goal they want to achieve because they know that they have the minds of the people. That's like my whole point. And so we have to become our own media. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's free outlet. You have a free outlet right here that you're taking care of. You're the media right now. And so
yeah.
when we think about, when we talk about the children without the parents, that's where the village to raising a child comes in. A lot of people, I live in Atlanta, but I come from Philly. A lot of people,
yeah.
and I don't know
I can hear it.
Like this, where you live at, it is, you can hear my Philly?
Yeah, I've heard it.
It's the adults against the children, all of us. I had a crazy situation where Philly was a little bit too much, and I had three boys. I was getting out of there no matter what. I couldn't do it. So a little bit before we moved, we had a going away little barbecue thingy party or whatever, and my son's friend came over. And so I was standing outside, and I always like to probe them and talk to them. And so one of them, I asked him, I said, well, I was asking all of them, I said, well, what's your plan? And he just got totally offended. And I'm just having a conversation. He just goes off on a tangent. Ma'am, I don't mean to be disrespectful. You know, we're forced into this kind of life. You guys just don't understand. I said, wait a minute. I didn't say anything about what you do. I already know what you do. I'm not judging what you do. I'm just asking you about yourself. Tears came into his eyes. He's like, I'm not – people ask me about myself. So when we talk about the children mimicking what they see in the media, they don't have to. But adults are not collective in love environment, and it wasn't just me or his dad and his family that corner of his day at, people aren't looking at him like he's crazy and looking at him like he's a threat. When he's walking down the street, people are not looking at him like he's a threat. He's a car. My son is what, 6'5", 275 pounds. In Philadelphia, he had a target on his back. And a lot of children there in those types of neighborhoods have targets because the adults are looking at them like they don't matter, like they are trouble. He got had to go to a conference at school, sitting there waiting. There was about 30 kids sitting there that were trying to be reinstated from suspensions, and I'm watching the way the school security guard is greeting these children when they come in the door, the way he greeted my son. My son stood outside for a little while. He came in after me, and when my son walked in the door, the security guard says, "Well, what now? Wait a minute. When you greet a kid with that as soon as they walk in school, everything goes south." And I sat there for about 10 minutes and watched him pick arguments with about 5 different children. And that's how the teachers communicate with them. So what are they doing?
That is called racial profiling, and we can blame the media for that too. Period, point blank.
We don't have our own need. We don't. All of that racial profiling, I've been there, done that. I'm a woman who rocks the natural. I've gotten stopped. But the point is that we don't, collectively, love these children. We don't work for them. We work against them. We look at the kids like, I'm the adult. You're the kid. You do what I say. It's bad enough trying to be a kid with the peer pressure, but then when you're fighting against other kids and then you have to fight through the adults, you just give up and you look at TV and you follow that because you go into a dream world because you want something better.
Since you brought that up, with you, going natural and seeing quite a few starting to, go that same route, how beneficial was that for you to make that decision?
I just did it. I've been like this for about 15 years. Are you asking about what changes I've seen? You want to know what's funny?
Yes.
In terms of the men I attract, now I attract more white men than black men.
Wow. Go further than that. Go further than that.
I don't know how far I can go. Like, I don't know what else to say about it. I'm like, oh, okay. This is different. I guess, I guess they like the weave better. I don't know. But I don't. I could never like that way. My thinking is a little clearer. I don't have all that other. And I don't spend $8 in a hairdresser anymore.
I wouldn't do it. And I'll tell you why. Look, you know what? I mean, in order for a white man to truly, truly, truly understand a sister and the plight and all that other stuff, then he would have to know a little bit more about our culture than they read in the history books and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
They can't.
I don't have anything against white people or anything like that. You know, trust and believe. But I wouldn't marry a white woman. Never.
Exactly. I mean, I've never, ever. But you can't relate. Like it.
Yeah, that's the only reason. That's the only reason. You can't relate. They can't relate to what we're going through.
They can sympathize. They can say sorry. It puts them in an awkward position because it's like, okay, I'm standing here. What am I to do? But you can't relate to my issues. I like you. You're nice. We have fun. But when it comes down to it, you can't be what I need you to be for that moment because you can't relate. You can't understand. You can try to understand. I thank you for that. But you don't know. You've never felt it. You don't know what I'm going through. So I'm not opposed to interracial dating, but we can't relate to each other. I don't know what he's going through. He don't know what I'm going through.
Well, I want to say this, what I'm seeing, that you mentioned that. Had a conversation, not just with the ex, but, a few of the brothers, around at random. And it was kind of mixed. Some had this perception that she doesn't have long hair or, seeing what they've seen on television, which goes back to what they see in the media and everything.
Mm-hmm.
They say that, she either looks tomboyish or whatever backwards perception, they want to put out there. Now, they're entitled to their opinion, but, you know, again, I always encourage people to, like, you know, if you're going to be genuine with your opinion, at least do the research and figure out why it is you feel, you know, believe in what you believe. With the natural, I've seen more women, you know, are more, you know, thinking clearly because they don't have all those chemicals and extracurricular stuff going through their hair, or that unnecessary pressure from the magazines that they're reading, you know, telling them that they're, if they're not a size 2 or, you know, if they don't look like, you know, a little skeleton, you know, she's not, you know, built right, or and I had a problem with individuals who would shame you for what you had naturally, but yet, in turn, they'll take what you have naturally and use surgery, Botox, and all this extracurricular stuff to put it on them, and that's cool. I never understood that.
You know what's crazy?
What's crazy?
I have a count of the women, even white women. I've had a lot of those, too, come up to me and say, wow, I wish I could wear my hair like that. And I tell them, oh, you can. Like, who cares? I don't have the head. I don't have the face. Who cares? Like, that's because that's what somebody else told you. Do it. And wear it in your own style. I love it. So, but a lot of women come up to me, I wish I could wear my hair like that. That makes me cringe when I get that. It's like, just wear your hair. You can do it.
Well, some aspire to, but some weren't meant to. I've seen them try, and it just doesn't go carry well.
I think they probably,
you know,
didn't have the right barber.
No, probably not the barber. You know, then you have to, you know, think about the right size head. You know, if you have a head like Mega Mine and you got micro braids, that's just not a good look. So, I mean, it's all about, you know, doing what works best for you, and
that's the
other part that's most important. How you perceive yourself. I mean, I know everyone likes to put everything on the media, which we have this pass-the-buck conversation, but whatever happened to the economy of self-esteem? Like, when you look in the mirror and you look and see, like, there's a complete stranger looking back at you, there's a problem. When you look at to other individuals who don't have your best interest and allow them to govern what they want to believe you are, and you go along with it, that's a complete
problem.
You know
why that happens? You know why that happens? Because of how we are groomed, and everybody does it. You have to think about it. When you look at babies, from the minute they're born, we groom them for praise. When we want them to do something, how we teach them what is right, we smile, we laugh, we clap, and make it those gestures to know we're okay with it. So we're bred to want praise. We're bred to want people to like us. We're bred to get that, those claps and those smiles and those cheers. So when you think about self-esteem and self-image, when you become an adult, you're doing the same exact thing. So you're basically looking at your image and saying, and looking at what the masses and what the status quo says, and saying, okay, I'm not like that, and I'm not getting these claps and these praises and these smiles and these cheers. So when I look at myself, I don't like myself. I don't like what I see because I'm not what they like. And that's a crazy thing, but that's how we're bred, and it's hard to break out of. And that comes from not just the media, because you know, when we look at when I sit and listen to brothers talk about, you know, the way they want a woman to look, why, and they listen to that. And if they're not looking at that way, then they're not going to feel good about themselves. I think every woman goes through image issues at some point in her life. Every woman goes through an image issue, a body image issue, where she's trying to fit the mold. And some of them never get out of it, and some of them do. But that's just the way it goes.
Okay. Well. Yeah, I'm enjoying the Philly accent because it is pretty strong. But here's the thing I want to ask you as far as with the community part before I get to Malik. Do you or do you not believe that we'd be able, if we after our own and actually were a community that paid attention to the what goes in it and what comes out of it.
Oh, you mean pre-desegregation days?
Well, yeah. Then do you believe that we would? Do you believe that we would need the police to police our neighborhoods?
Are you asking me that? Will we become crime-free if we start looking out for our own? There'll always
yes.
be a need for police, no matter how far we come, because some people just a fool. Some people just crazy. No matter how good we're doing, every neighborhood needs police because you have crazy people and they're never going to go away. You have people who have mental issues and emotional issues, and I don't care how good they got it, be in need. I don't think so heavily if we're not worried about how we're going to eat. In our community, because of the poverty and that whole survival thing comes into place, and because we have it so hard, we have a lot of mental issues because of that. So I think that it would get better. I don't think we'll need as many, but I definitely don't see a need for it ever going away. People have egos, and some people's egos get the best of them. Some people are jealous. Some people's jealousy gets the best of them. When somebody's ego is hurt, they do drastic things at times, and that calls for the law.
Well,
getting shot over women. That has nothing to do with the economy. A guy gets shot because he bought somebody's ex-girlfriend a drink. That has nothing to do with how well our community is doing financially and looking out for each other. He's just jealous.
Well, I mean, in some instances, I mean, you figure, like, how we spend our money and our time, you know, that definitely has a factor in a lot of stuff that happens.
Oh, yeah.
It goes back to the economy itself. I mean, if you have an individual who's, an opportunist, then they do create, some crazy situations where they got a wife jumping from bed to bed, or a husband that does the same thing. That says a great deal. And this stuff hasn't, this ain't new. This stuff has been going on since the beginning of time, basically. Let me get, Malik's thoughts on that. Malik, the same question. Like, what'd you feel as far as, like, the need for police if we had actual community police itself?
My definition of policing is we police each other. I mean, we're always going to need cops. This country would fall apart if we didn't have police, right? But I'm not advocating making their job a lot easier, but when it comes to, like, for example, what are you going to do when you're driving around at 10 o'clock at night, and let's just say you see five youths out there ages 11 to 13. Are you going to stop the car and tell them to take their ass home like they used to do when we were kids? Or are you just going to continue to drive by? They're not my kids. They're not my problem. What are you going
to
do?
Tell them
to I'm going to stop the car and say, kids, it's late. Go home.
Mm-hmm.
That's policing. That's policing each other, all right? And it begins with the children. I got three ex-wives, and they always say the same thing to me. But when a kid have the right to voice their opinion, right? But when they're young, it's just an opinion. They can voice it all they want. It's not going to change anything. Because the way I look at it, if you're old enough to make your own decisions, you're old enough to live on your own. It's just that simple. And I got seven kids. I told them the same thing. That's what they all think for themselves. Yeah, and I taught them right from wrong. The only thing we can do is teach them right from wrong, but not just our kids, the other kids, just like the late, just like the distinguished queen was saying. We got to be, we have to police our own children because, 9 times out of 10, they're not going to disrespect us when we're trying to help them, But some will. But, the fact of the matter is, I live in Los Angeles. There's 13, 14, there's 12, 11, 12, 13-year-olds old out at past 10 o'clock at night. What's up with that?
And their parents know that they're out there. Their parents don't care. You know why? Because they're at home doing their thing. They don't care if their kids are out in the middle of the street in the middle of the night. And I see it all the time. I've seen it in Detroit. I've seen it in Chicago. I've seen it on the East Coast, you know.
And they end up dead.
Policing starts with the family, with the parents.
Okay.
But when the parents ain't worth dirt, when the parents ain't worth dirt and they just let their kids run them up for whatever reason, then we got a whole we got a whole community full of walking dead, night raiders.
You don't even see parents at parent-teacher conferences at school anymore. When my oldest was in the seventh grade, I was sitting there listening. His friend was there with his mom in a parent-teacher conference ahead of us, and I'm listening to the conversation, and basically his grades were messed up. And his mom's like, you know, yeah, he's always falling asleep in class because he's up all night on the computer. And I'm like, what the hell? So the teacher's like, well, what is he doing? And the mom is like, well, I don't know. I don't know how to work on my computer. And in my head, I'm like, you need to find out. And I told my son, I've always told him, when you take a look at your friends, you need to take a look at where you think they are going to be in the next 5 to 10 years. And it wasn't until his friend started dying until he listened to me. And this particular friend, I told my son, I said, you need to watch out for that because his mama don't care. When we moved down here to Georgia, that boy and his brother in their house, and when the police searched the premises, what did they find in their parents' bedroom? A bunch of guns, a bunch of drugs, and a bunch of money. The kids got killed in a drug deal on bed, and they were dealing for their parents. This goes on a lot, and it's sad. It's sad that you had that these people. It's sad that my son reached and outlived 90% of his friends. That's not a good thing to say that you accomplished.
I agree.
The parents do not pay attention. They don't. And now my son understands it. He totally understands. I've told him millions of times, any of these kids will trade places with you because you actually have a mom who pays attention and who cares. I'll be glad to let you trade places with someone so you can sit. And now that he's older, he has apologized so many times for going through his little teenage, I don't like my mom thing, because now he gets it, and he sees.
Yeah, it's too bad. I really hate to hear stuff like, you know.
And then
the parents always blame, you know, I wish you would have listened to me. He probably would have listened to you if you would have said something in the first place.
Exactly.
Yeah, you didn't say anything. That's because you didn't say nothing.
You weren't paying
attention.
The kids aren't cultured. There's nothing to help the kids know something outside of their zip code. Like, when you were talking about the graphic images of slavery, there's a museum in D.C. What was it? The Baltimore. The Black and Wax Museum. Oh, my God. I had to decompress when I came out of here. It's graphic. Oh, it tells a lot of truth about slavery and our history. And the thing, it's very graphic. I'm just having flashbacks. And I think all kids need to go there. But it's really graphic. That's all I can say. You have to get to Maryland so you know what I'm talking about. But, wow.
Well, here's the thing that here's the thing that, you know, want to get to. And you have a Dr. Umar Johnson. He's like, a psychologist, black psychologist. And he's looking for us to help contribute to create a school basically for the tutoring and mentoring of our young boys, a problem that we need, that has long need have been addressed a long time. And seeing that as far as the black community, you know, totally has a spending worth of $1.1 trillion, I'm trying to overstand as to why this school hasn't had that surplus of money already.
Because
it only takes about, well, aside from the mindset, you know, you figure there's quite a few among us who are offering opposition to this. And then it's the same individuals who are complaining about where are the good men, where are these men of, you know, stature and the leaders. And here it is, this opportunity to do this. And or you have, you know, these other projects where you're having Hidden Colors, you're having, you know, media like this, or, you know, the movie 7 a.m. coming out, and we have things like Kickstarter and, you know, Indiegogo and all these things that raise funds, and yet there is full attendance in these churches in bad neighborhoods and other means of squandering money and the stuff that we need. It goes unanswered, or the call isn't heard by everybody. So as a potential entrepreneur or entrepreneur yourself, what would you, respectively, both of you, encourage to not just garner the funds, but to sustain your business within our community?
There has to be a change of mindset, and that's a hard thing to break.
I was going to say that.
Yeah, when your mind changes, then everything changes. But if you don't believe what you can be, and you don't like what you see in the mirror, you're not going to work for that goal. You're not going to do it. It's all it boils down to. People's minds have to change.
Yeah, exactly.
And
they have to believe that they have some sort of future. A lot of our kids are walking around saying, "Hey, look, you know what? I don't have a future. I'll be dead in the next year or so anyway." So, you know, they're just saying, "Yeah, F it." You know what I mean? And it's sad but true. We have to change their minds somehow, some kind
and
of way.
Adults have to change their minds too. Look at social media. Look at the things that go on there and all that drama. These people have children. and the thing that you have people that you have straight depression cases just posting everything on Facebook. Oh my God, I'm so depressed. You wake up in the morning, if you look at that, you see people complaining, and people complain too much. And if you have a parent that's mind is not right, then the kid's mind is going to be right. The adults have to get their minds right. We're worried about stupid stuff. You're worried about, well, what's the person next door wearing, or why is she dating that man and he cheating on her, or why is he with that girl? That's their business. What are you going to do for?
Yeah, but they love to post it on Facebook, though, don't they?
Exactly. What do you? Everybody has something to complain about. Me, I don't think anybody has anybody to complain about, because there's always somebody who has it worse and whose attitude is better. People complain too much. They focus on, oh, well, I don't have this, and so-and-so has that. That's stupid. You're gonna stay down if you keep thinking about negative things. I have friends who are, like, who've been given their expiration dates with terminal illnesses, and nothing can stop them. Like, they're going and going and going. Like, the doctor didn't even tell them, look, you got to be out of here in about 6 months. You can't see things like that and have anything to complain about and not shoot for the best.
True. Hey, well, let me ask you an honest question, Philly. I'm going to ask you that.
Did you just call me Philly?
Yes, I did. Okay, let me ask you an honest question as a black woman, okay? In your respective opinion, unedited, what are your suggestions to restore the image of black women? Pull no punches.
I think that we have to start thinking better about ourselves. Honestly.
Break it down.
Men or people need to stop looking at Stop paying attention to that small percentage of negative women. Black men are bruised, and I know a lot of bruised and broken black men at the hands of some women. You know, men fall fast, men fall hard, and then
Hold on, Philly.
I'm saying unedited opinion.
No, I said stay on here. I asked for to take care of black women? Because we gonna address that question in a second. I'm gonna get to that.
Okay.
You can't sit around. Like, I just wanted you to stay on that one before we want to.
Okay. Well, I mean, we have to hold each other accountable, and we have to check each other, and we also have to be open to getting checked. Because that whole attitude thing, when you can't tell me this, and look at you, just the other day I was in a forum where a girl, she was burners, and I said, well, you know, hey, you might not want to do that. You can end up with heart troubles and all this and all that. Here, let me show you what's in that. Oh my gosh, it was so horrible of me to do that. Nobody knows how to take constructive criticism. Back to that whole praise thing. Everybody wants their ego stroked. So there's this whole attitude of you can't tell me this, you can't tell me that. And that's not a majority, at least not from what I know from my circle, but that small percentage gets a lot of attention and it makes us as a whole look bad. Well, naturally, we're not. I have a pretty solid circle of friends who we've been friends for forever, and we check each other. There's no, oh, I see you married and you're doing something you're not supposed to that violates your marriage, and I'm just going to sit there and just say okay just because you're my friend. I'm not your friend if I can't check you, and you're not my friend if you can't check me. If I see you doing wrong, I'm going to check you about that, and hopefully you'll get better. And, you know, you might get mad at me at first, but you're going to sit there and think about it, and vice versa. I might not want to hear it at first, but if I want to better myself, then I have to listen to if I want the people around me to be better. And if you're around me, you're going to be better. I have to be able to give you constructive criticism. So basically, we just need to throw away our egos and listen and think better and strive to do better.
Okay. Let me get to...
Stop sleeping with everybody, man. Oh, that's popular.
Oh, man. Let me get to Malik a second.
Hey, look, you
Malik,
know what?
Hold on, Malik. Now I want to say, ask the same question or suggestion for our brothers. Unedited, stick to that. We're going to stop.
Oh, it's very simple. You know, we have to make, I will say this about both parties. We need to make better choices about who we choose as mates, number one. Number two, the man, in order for him to be a man, he has to know his role in the relationship, especially if he's somebody's husband. Especially. If he knows his role, if he doesn't know his role, if he's walking around in the wilderness, then she's going to walk around in the wilderness, regardless if she picked him or not, regardless if she has kids with him or not. So as men, we have to take our manhood very, very seriously and act accordingly. Everything else will follow, especially if we're with the right woman. You know, but if we're with a woman that's going to go against everything that we say and all that other stuff and constantly questioning. Now, you got to understand, right, as a married couple, you make decisions together. All right, that's first and foremost. I mean, when I was married, I never made a decision without discussing it with my better half. You know, but then you get a couple of people, men and women, that want to sit up here and just be like, hey, look, you know what, my word is law, this and that and the other, da-da-da-da-da. Okay, fine and daddy, right? But a man has his role and a woman has hers. But the problem is a lot of men don't know their roles because they weren't taught. A lot of women don't even know their roles because they haven't been taught. Hell, I ran into women that can't even boil water, much less cook something.
Uh-huh. Well, here's what I'm going to say.
Just keep it 100.
Well, this is what I'm going to say on both. Starting with the brothers. My brothers, we basically have to be very stern stewards of our seed. I've seen too many hood versions of Johnny Appleseed out here. And when it comes to children, one of the greatest crimes that you commit is creating a child without a plan nor the the tools or necessities to allow that baby to thrive, not just with you but behind you. What I'm seeing a lot of is a lot of homes that are not allowing our young men to be groomed and trained to be better men. We're seeing a lot of surrogate boyfriends. We're seeing a lot of, let's just be honest with it, there's a lot of incestuous situations. There are some effeminate young males who are being graded. And yet there are individuals who have the audacity to complain about the Frankenstein monsters that they created. The men, you have to ask yourself, and that woman, what does she have to bring to the table besides her vagina and her problems? If you can't get a credible answer, that is your answer. You have to look at that woman's history. You have to see her family. That way you know if you're getting third or eighth generation crazy. You have to figure that out. And not just have a plan for yourself, but have a plan for that woman if you really take them seriously. Mm-hmm. Even if it's on short term, you got to have a plan. As far as the women, we need more the elder women to teach the younger women to be better women. There's a lot of cattiness in many circles I'm seeing. There are a lot of mothers who are jealous of their daughters because, you know, either their expiration date is passed or something, you know, or they birth children that they had no intention of loving in the first place. When it comes to your womb, you need to treat it as a temple, not a drive-through.
You know what that comes
to? When it comes to your attention, it has to be started at home. You have to have mothers and fathers to teach these young girls that, you know, the word love is earned, not just cast around at, you know, at will, just for the sake of shits and giggles. She has to see a template as it's, we as fathers, we're the first teacher of what she should look for in a man. And if he's vacant, you're not likely to like the substitute teachers that are left. And on both, you have to notice that, separation is either voluntary or involuntary, whether it's like separation as far as like divorce or death or something in between. And when that person is gone, the next person in command, is there, there's a hierarchy. They have responsibility. If you are a woman raising young boys, you need to get them around influential men. If you're a father that has young girls, you still be the father, but you need to get them around feminine energy to where they can be balanced instead of all these emotional suicide bombers that we're dealing with today. That's personally what I see.
I totally agree. But let me ask the Queen something real quick. Queen, do you think that, because you have sons, I don't have any sons, I got daughters, all right, so I don't know what it's like to have a son, but I got beautiful daughters, and they're actually women now, you know. Do you think that, because I'm sure that, I mean, the way you sound and, you know, you're just exuberant of intelligence and all of that stuff, I'm sure that your boys are fine. But if you had, now I don't know if you have or not, all right, I have to ask, you know, is there a male role model in the house or a male figure in the house?
I'm a single mom, but my kids are not fatherless, and they're not manless. I keep an arsenal of men because I'm humble enough to know I am not a man. All that guy stuff, I can, you know, explain it from a female point of view, but I don't have that experience, so I can't give it to my son. So
and
when
that's
it comes
fantastic.
To guy stuff, let me call dad. If dad's not crazy, I have uncles, friends, you know, I recruit
exactly,
dudes into
exactly.
My
circle. I grew up the same way.
Yeah, so if
I grew up the same way. My father was in and out, but I grew up the same way. But let me make a suggestion. Pass that on to some of these females because there are a lot of women out there that are saying, I'm the mother and the father.
They were saying that
on Father's Day.
No, don't call me. I actually had a guy text me
on Father's Day and say Happy Father's Day to me, and it was kind of creepy. I'm not a guy, so I don't. I'm not a dad. But I did. I had a conversation with her about a month or so ago, because she's a single mom, and like her son, he's just getting to teenager, and so he had his first episode where like he called his teacher out of her name, and she was going crazy. Uh-oh. So I talked to her and I told her about some of my experiences with my son, and she ended up cracking up. And so when it got to the subject of men, she's like, well, I don't have any around. I'm like, why? She's like, because I don't, you know, I feel funny. I said, girl, please, they don't care. And I told her, if I meet a guy and I think that he has it together, we don't have to date or anything like that, but he's in my Rolodex, because I'm going to call him when some boy stuff goes on that either my uncle or the dad didn't handle properly. I need to get the point of view. I maybe need a little deep voice to be on the other line, but I do it by any means necessary because it's that important. Like, I'm a mom, and that's a big deal. What I put out in the world, I'm responsible for. So I have to do everything possible to make sure it's right, even though there's no perfect blueprint.
I need to bring in area code 912-270. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Mr. Superboy 23.
Hey, Mr. Superboy, how you doing?
Well, fine, yourself.
Doing all right. I had a question for you. What are your thoughts about individuals who come up to you or you overhear always asking, what are the solutions? And what are your thoughts on that opinion first?
I tell them, if you don't know the solution yourself, you're going to be lost. I mean, you can't always keep looking for somebody to lead you somewhere or tell you something, because leaders are fallible. Leaders have a short time period. You know, let me give an example of Martin and Malcolm. When Malcolm started to get national prominence, the media decided we can't have this, so they started to attack him. They started to spread rumors. They started to get other people to attack him and spread rumors. And when Malcolm and Martin finally realized that they were on a same page, it went by a little different. They decided they wanted to get together. Didn't they kill Malcolm? And then when Martin started talking like Malcolm and met with Elijah Muhammad, then they killed Martin. And when that happened, that spooked a lot of our people. It's a complacency. So now the people that do rise up, they don't have to do that anymore. All they got to do is just put out there and say that, you know, that this person did this and did that without anybody really doing any checks and balances. So now you have people saying, well, if I don't have a leader, I don't know what to do. You have to lead yourself. You know right from wrong at the age of 9. You know right from wrong. I mean, it don't work for me. At the age of 38, I can't go say I got to look to some grown man to lead me. I can't lead myself now that I'm pathetic, that I'm lost. I can't blame anybody but myself. That's why I get tired of this being in our community saying, well, nobody taught me anything. You know, when you get bit by a dog, you don't want to get bit by a dog again, so you change your patterns, right?
Mm-hmm.
You won't go around a dog. So why is it at the age of 32, 42, 52, are we still blaming somebody? We should know as black people that we're not like. We should know that we got a target on us. So why do we keep looking for somebody to lead us? Be your own leader. If we have a group of leaders, nobody can touch us because they'll know how to come at us. But if you have one leader, that means you only have one head thinking for everybody, and everybody's lost. That's what happened to our people the last 40-something years. How we looking for somebody to lead us.
Mm-hmm.
It's dangerous.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I said that a minute ago, brother. I said people got to start thinking for themselves, man.
Exactly.
I already said it.
Exactly, because, you know, and the thing is, people like us that's on the show talking, they scared of us because we got common sense. See, when we start speaking like this to the masses, and they say, oh, we got to stop them. So this is why they start saying that we're sellouts or we're paranoid or we just want to blame somebody. No, we just trying to tell people to think. In my videos, I always tell people, don't believe me. I could be blowing smoke up your rear. You go out there and do your own research. You step to the side and just observe.
Exactly.
That's the most powerful thing you can do is observe. When you start seeing people making fools out of themselves, you're like, wait a minute, I'm not going to do that. That's why I cannot understand why these men and women go out here have unprotected sex, knowing that these kids are going to grow up screwed up, knowing that you're going to create another generation that's going to love the kids, and then act like, well, nobody told me nothing. You got $5 in your pocket. Go to the gas station and buy some rubber. You go to the clinic. Go get you some birth control. And if you don't want to be a mom's dad, it's for you to get your tube, get the second, or have an abortion.
Can someone stop balling up aluminum foil on the air? I mean, that's pretty distracting. What were you saying, Harvey?
What I was saying is, you know, I don't know why adults, you know, when we lay down with each other, men and women, to this day, we still having unprotected sex or having babies, unwanted children. You can go to the gas station, get $5, get some rubbers, male or female. You know, you can go to the clinic and you can get on birth control, or better yet, you can get a vasectomy or get your tubes tied. Or if it gets to the point where you did all that and it's still in pregnancy, you make a decision, say, okay, we need to come up about $500 and go take care of this. Now, I know that some people out here say, well, my religious upbringing, so I can't do this. Yeah, think about it. 18 years, 19 years of taking care of a child or trying to take a child that you can't take when you can't take care of yourself. See, some of us are not using logic anymore. We want people to feel sorry for us. Let me tell you something. The government, these politicians, these talking heads, they are changing policy right now to make life very difficult for black Americans. And it seems to me that we keep thinking that, oh, they're going to change. Well, we keep praying. We've been praying for 500 years, these bastards, and got worse and worse.
Yep.
At some point, we got to be proactive and not reactive.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's being stressed. You know, not just the economy or our seed, but mainly how we treat each other as a people. When it comes to business, when it comes to social relationships, when it comes to actually family. You know, when it comes to the History Channel, actually our history. Knowing our history and, as you said, you know, controlling our dollar, that it's a matter of survival. This isn't just some saying. It's what needs to be done, because there's just so many people who are in our communities that are basically pilfering our funds to send their children to the best out there, and we have absolutely nothing to show for it. Nothing.
Yeah, I give you another example. I just was watching a segment on the news, World News. It was talking about the violence in Chicago. Now, every time they do that, I get rubbed the wrong way, because I know that they're not being accurate, because the way they painted it in the media is that it's all blacks killing. There's more than one group of people in the city of Chicago or Chicago area. Then they're not including, they say, well, six got killed, but they're not including the ones, the police officers, they're not mentioning that the police officers killed some of those people. They're not mentioning that you have people that was out not just firing fireworks, but firing weapons in the air. Bullets do have to come down. They don't talk about the gang initiation. They don't talk about the people who come in this our community from across the board or overseas that come to our community and bring drugs and weapons to our community. They know who's doing it. Then they talk about, well, Chicago got the strictest gun laws. Yeah, for law-abiding citizens, but not the criminals. Criminals don't respect the law. I'm tired of them taking advantage of men and women who are grieving for the loss of a loved one and saying, we got to get rid of guns. America's too entrenched with guns. We love guns too much. I would tell brothers and sisters, if you don't have a record, go get your firearms car, go to the range a few times. Then in your state, if you got cover and conceal law, go to that class. I'm telling you right now, these people out here are carrying assault weapons on TV, and they're trying to use, well, the gun laws in Chicago. What do the gun laws in Chicago got to do with you in Texas, walking around going to Applebee's with an AK-47? They are telling y'all they're going to kill us. A lot of us think it won't happen. Let me remind y'all, Trayvon Martin was walking from a 7-Eleven, mind his own business. What did this country do? They turned him into a thug. A 17-year-old kid with no record. Didn't have nothing but a candy and a beverage. They made him a thug. You know, so we know what they're doing.
Exactly.
I mean, think about back in the 1960s when the Panthers said, we tired of the police or the people coming to our community, raping our women and children, killing our men. They took the arms. What did Ronald Reagan and them do? And Jay Hoover said, no, we can't have this. They pass laws, and here it is. It's in our community. All we want to do is please our community. We're not going to somebody else's community. But you got these people going to our community. I mean, I did a video where some of my sons said, "Hey, Harvey, you know, they're going to march in a black neighborhood in Houston." I'm like, "Wait a minute. Why are white people going to a black neighborhood in Houston? They ain't going for your gun rights. They're going to tell you, niggas, we're going to come kill you. We're going to show you who's the boss. We're tired of y'all." I mean, all you got to do is go on YouTube and look at the comments. Look how Joan Rivers got cussed for calling the first lady a tranny. And she ain't biting her tongue. They don't care anymore.
She's the last one to say anything out there. Just,
I mean, these people,
yeah,
I'm telling y'all, I got mixed.
A mannequin look better than her.
Mm-hmm. But they only attack. They're getting us in the media, getting us in education. They're getting us in another. I mean, look, they even keep pushing this thing that black women got higher rates of HIV. So you telling me black women are black women whores or are black men are on the down low? One of those two, you're trying to tell us. But either way,
yeah,
you're
exactly.
trying to say our women, you're trying to tell
either
our
way,
women they're whores. It's bullshit. I know it. And if
it's total bullshit.
Yeah, and if they do have high rates of HIV, you have to question these clinics. What are they injecting into our sister bodies?
Well,
see, we need to start asking,
you think as far as
pushing this.
Well, it's not just the clinics. You think about some of the foods that we're eating or, you know, some
yeah,
of the things
steroids.
That we're in the water. I mean, all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, these steroids.
You know, when we were younger, we had, you know, kids. You know, we had young teenagers who were like teenagers that weren't developed. And now you have these, like, you know, roid out thoroughbreds in their mid-teens. And, like, you know, you can't even tell if she's, like, legal or not at first. You got to sit there and card her. I mean,
and that's
I mean,
scary, man,
like
I'm telling you. You had to walk up on top of them before you realize how old they are. When you realize, you get scared. You're like, "Oh crap, I'm going to jail." You know, because you don't know. And the thing is, and when we in our community start saying, "Wait a minute, something is right here," we get called paranoid. But see, the thing is, the worst thing they hate is a black person with common sense and has a cautious mind, an analytical mind. So we know the game. We know what's going on. But that's why they go out and find the most uneducated black person to prop up in the media, because they keep telling you this is how you're going to make your money. If you go out there and play dumb and say you're a thug or a thugette, you get rewarded. Look how they love Rihanna. Rihanna's out there whoring herself to the world. Oh, she's so beautiful and everything. Did they do that to Paris Hilton? No, they told her to sit her ass down. You know, don't do that to yourself. Every time they do something, they got an agenda. And we in the black community can't sit there saying, "Won't somebody come lead us somewhere?" I'm sorry. You got to look in the mirror and say, "What have I done wrong?"
Well,
I mean,
there's another part
I mean,
of it. You got so many of us who want everybody to be included in everything that we have, and we don't take pride or set boundaries on certain things that need to be maintained. It's not our history, our music, you know, how we're perceived in the media. Everything that is about us is like, hey, we got to have everybody in here, the Rainbow Coalition, when everyone outside of it is united and not including us into their situation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just back-asswards. You know, it's like, I think desegregation at the time was one of the worst things that happened, because we were united, you know, to a degree. Even if we had our differences, we had to stick together to stay alive. Now, look at us now. You got people who still dismiss the fact that you have these so-called labels that people are out here prostituting at will, and they tell you willingly, "We'll take your money, but we don't want y'all in our shit." That's what they tell you every time. Or you go to a store, you know, every time you go to a store, you got people, you got cameras watching. You got that random store clerk who happens to do some store maintenance in your immediate area where you're going. Or they question you like, "Hey, you know, this is expensive, like you can't afford it." This is why, like, I question people, like, how is it that you have this, you know, homie hookup idea when it comes to our businesses, but you don't have the same mindset or anything to people who will take your money but don't want to take your, you know, have you in there to sully up their image? I wonder.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, what happened was we've been sold that American Dream on TV for so long, we crave it. You know, I don't know if you remember Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, when they used to go in and show the rich people homes and stuff. I remember our parents used to watch it religiously. and without realizing, they indoctrinated us into thinking that that's the only way we can survive if we got to have the biggest cars, the biggest mansion. And then you had, what's that, the Cribs come out, and you see another generation see that. So now all they think is that they have to have materialistic things. That's why I can never understand why blacks go out and support Nike when there's no Nike towns in our communities, no blacks working for Nike making shoes, no Apple stores in our community. You got to go into the white neighborhoods or the downtown areas. There's no Mercedes dealerships in our community. Hell, some of our communities even have Chevy dealerships. So at some point, we got to sit down and say, wait a minute, hold on. We made everybody else fat off us, and they can turn around and call us idiots. But if black folks stop spending money for the next year, I'm talking about buying non-essential things, this economy going to tailspin. We have power. Stop referring to yourself in the negative. Stop saying we're only 12 or 13% of the population. They've been saying this stuff since our grandparents were kids. I mean, they say we fuck like rabbits. Then they say we're the highest abortion rate. Some of those numbers had to cancel out each other at some point. It don't make any sense. Now they want the Mexicans to come in because Mexicans are claiming to be white now. So you have the Democrats and Republicans trying to replace us with them. So now you got people crying about, oh, the poor kids are coming from El Salvador. They have a gang problem. So fucking what? We have a gang problem here. We got terrorism here. We got people here that can't eat. They don't have a roof over their head. I'm telling y'all, they are going after us, and our people don't want to see it. That's why I say, and no disrespect to anybody in the black church, but the black church have dropped the ball. You have a bully pulpit. Put the Bible to the side. Yo, we need to go be buying property in our community. We need to educate our people on their history. We need to tell our kids there's another way out besides sports, singing, and telling crass jokes. But we don't want to do that. We want that American dream that they see advertised on TV. So we live in la-la land, and by the time we get 40, 50, oh, man, I wish I would have known that. By then, it's too late. Because you consider a senior citizen. Now you got the younger kids coming in. You can't tell me nothing because you didn't do nothing. So it's just this endless cycle of coonery.
I like that, coonery.
Well, that's what it is. It's what it is.
Is.
I mean, when you have a Don Lemon who gets out there and basically anything that deals with black issues and places it in a negative light, and he is an effeminate black male, and, you know, that's a whole other standard in itself. What do you say about that?
I call him Brother Limbrick.
We can go on all day on that, but that's the importance of, you know, having not just our own media, but, you know, not waiting for the next leader to take the bullets and slings and arrows for us. But we have to be willing to do that for ourselves and for each other. There's just no other alternative. And having this conversation time and time again for people, get on the show, so what's the solution? In the same way, like, you know, when they go to church, they go in there, they get a free concert, they put some money in there several times, and when you leave, nothing is generated from what you received. And you see in most prominent areas where there's, you know, mega churches or even moderate-sized churches, take a look at the neighborhoods. Take a long look at the neighborhoods, what's being built or what's supposed to be built. You know, and you got to figure out what's being taught, not just there, but in your schools. Because when you look at standardized testing, like I said, that's the kind of testing that allows mediocre individuals of intelligence to feel superior to people who learn and are thinking in a different way. We learn and think differently. They just change the language in order to confuse and trip people up.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you go to certain schools or certain, you know, forms of higher learning, supposedly, when you talk to them long enough, that level of intelligence is not there. It really isn't. There's some people I've seen, I'm in graduate school, and you listen to them, I can't tell. You just say some very elaborate words, but you're not saying anything.
I get what you mean, because I don't use the King's English all the time. But when you hear some people talking, they talk about they go to this university, like, eh? You know, you're supposed to be the educated one. It's all about the illusion, you know, that illusion that you got something. I mean, when I was a kid, I'm pretty sure because we're the same age, when teachers used to correct us when you use improper grammar. if we were slouching. They don't do any of that anymore. And then they blame the parents. But at school, the teacher's supposed to be the one who's educated. They're supposed to be correcting you on certain things. Now, you know how to conduct yourself? Yes, parents often you got to do that. But it's so many things that people do as a deterrent. Because, I mean, I watched my niece and nephew, they school in the suburbs. You can tell they go to suburban schools. Those teachers are not going to let these kids go on without learning something because they don't want to be a reflection of them. Because I think back, honestly, on some of the teachers I had, they should be in jail for what they did to us. They purposely miseducated us. And then anybody in the class that tried to better themselves, they attacked them. You think you know everything. You're too smart for your own good. I remember that stuff. So I could just imagine what some of the kids' education they're getting in the schools today. I cringe to really think about that. That's why I say that we as black adults who have common sense, who actually give a damn about our people, we need to make our voices heard. But the thing is, we can't just let one person be the spokesperson because then they get attacked and everybody else get discouraged. And then, like I said, yeah, this endless cycle of coonery. And there's days where I literally cry knowing the game that they're playing against our people or the game we're playing against ourselves.
Well, I want to hear from Philly again. I just enjoyed that. Are you still there with us? Got Philly on hold. Okay. Let me ask you something, Harvey, you know, before I get Philly back on here. How are you a solution or an accessory?
I'm a solution.
Yes.
Well, I try to live a righteous life. If I see somebody that doesn't have experience or knowledge, I try to put them aside and say, hey, you know, this is what happened to me or this is what I would do. You don't have to follow necessarily me to a T, but I was you. I would think about something before you do it. And I think if you do that, that can help a lot, just those little things. I tell people I'm not a role model because I'm not perfect. But I know what it's like to get pulled over by a police officer. I know what it's like to be accused of something you didn't do. This is what I would tell you to take steps to try to avoid that situation. Now, will you always avoid those situations? No. But at least you have it in the back of your mind that, yo, this can't happen. And I think those little things that we can do as men and women in our community will help out a lot. See, we got to be careful not talking these grand scale things because you have too many different opinions out there. We can't even agree to disagree as people. So sometimes you might have to start small. That's why when I do videos, I don't care about the subs, but I know it's a core group of people that get the message. And they say, well, I played my son this video. I played my sister this video. And that's how you get people to understand, to really think about the things around them. So I think a lot of our people know what's going on. I think our people are afraid or think they're the only ones who see things. And they're afraid to talk about it. They're afraid they're going to get pushback. I mean, that's the way I would handle things is just by speaking to people who actually want to be spoken to. And then maybe in their little inner survey can take something back to somebody else.
We're bringing area code 803-504. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'm just listening. it's Lovey T. I'm just listening.
Hey, Lovey T, how you doing?
I missed after the show. I've been at my little nephew's birthday party, so I was like, well, let me just go ahead and see if y'all even got the show still going on right now. So I'm just listening. I heard it tail end. But hello.
Happy Sunday. We're just now that you're here, one of the actions, again, like a bless you. We had this conversation, and knowing that there's 4 minutes and 50 seconds left, and I'll give the number out in a minute, how do you, as a black woman, aspire to make yourself a solution versus talking about it?
How do I want to make a solution?
How are you aspiring to be a solution versus, like, asking for one?
I think to make a solution for me is basically practicing what I preach, you know, and stop looking to other people to be a savior. you know, stop, you know, people always like, oh, well, such and such celebrities should be donating and building parks and, you know, they should be putting out a positive message. And why don't we do that? Why are we waiting for Lil Wayne and Nicki Minaj and Beyonce to come together as a collective as opposed to us? So I think for me, you know, I try to support anything positive, anything that can benefit us, you know, videos like 7 a.m., or Hidden Colors 3, things like that. I try to support anything positive. And then also being able to go out on my own and being on my own entrepreneur stuff, being a role model to other people. I don't think you have to do anything superheroish. I just think being a positive role model, being somebody that somebody can look up to and say, you know what, you know, I would like to be like her. I would like to see, like, you know, how she got that far in life or, you know, where she's coming from. But, you know, like I said, for the most part, just being honest, you know, stop fronting and stop trying to say, like, you know, having that holier-than-thou mentality, like, oh, I would never, and I've never, you know, being honest with it, letting folks know what you've been through and how you rose above it, as opposed to judging and acting like you're so much better when we've all made mistakes. So I think for me, that's how I'm part of the solution. It's just being that person that folks can look up to and understand that I've made my mistakes, I've been through a lot, but that hasn't stopped me, as opposed to front and acting like my life is perfect and I've never made no mistakes and, you know, everything is just, you know, glorious and all praise is due to God, as opposed to, you know, the stuff that I really put out there and done for myself.
Okay. Well, we have 2 minutes and 25 seconds, so anyone looking to call in, since we're going to go over time, you can call at 347-884-8239, and I want to say on the record, when it comes to Joan Rivers and who being the last individual to talk, I believe that your vagina smells like MK playoff socks and stagnant bong water, but let's keep on with the conversation. I just wanted to get that out there.
You know, I was looking at some of the comments. I did a video about that. I don't know if you probably saw it, maybe not. And I noticed something. There are people out there defending Joan Rivers, saying she's a comic. I don't know why being a comic gives you the freedom to just say whatever you want to say. And then when people push back against it, somehow you're the problem. I mean, I've never heard anybody call Hillary Clinton, Laura Bush, or anybody a tranny. I mean, I get them saying what they're going to say about President Obama. I already said they was going to start doing that. But to call Mrs. Obama a tranny, I think that's not just an attack on her. That's an attack on black women, in my opinion. They're trying to say that our women are masculine. If you watch TV, they always got women, our women as angry, masculine men, that they loud, they boisterous, and they feminize black men on TV. And I know I'm not the only one to see this.
Right, but, you know, now I don't know what all happened with Joan Rivers. She said that Michelle Obama was a tranny.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. What happened with her?
See, but the thing is, what a lot of people don't realize is that a lot of black comedians go in on black women all the time. So we've basically given other races of people permission to clown black women. If you guys watched the BET Awards last week, and I had made a tweet about how they were talking about, you know, Chris Rock was interviewing all the white, you know, hillbilly rednecks, and he was asked some questions about the BET Award. And one of the questions he asked one of the dudes was, do you like black women? Have you ever dated a black woman? And he was like, nah, but I would love to, but I haven't. He's like, why haven't you? He's like, I don't know. He's like, they're kind of scary, huh? Yeah, black women are scary. And I'm like, you know, I understand comedy, but why do we all got to put black women out there like they're so masculine and scary and, you know, angry and bitter? And a lot of the black, you know, comics do that. So, you know, if we don't have no respect for our own, why? I would never expect Joan Rivers to have respect for black women or black people. When you have a lot of comics, like, they had no problem going in on Martin Luther King, on Rosa Parks. You get what I'm saying? So, like, when you don't have respect for your own, you're basically laying the foundation for everybody else to say it's okay to shit on, you know, shit on black people and black women, because you would never see a Jewish comedian making fun of his own, making fun of the Holocaust, but yet we make fun of slavery all the time. We make fun of a lot of, you know, so-called sensitive topics, but then when somebody of another race does it, then we get upset. But half the time we don't respect our own, and then we'll say, well, it's just comedy. You know, people need to lighten up. It's just comedy. Well, we can't have it both ways.
No, I understand what you're saying, but,
well,
you know.
Well, what I was going to say is, I beg to differ when it says just comedy, because look what they did to Tracy Morgan. You know, he done made a few jokes, and they made, you know, gave him hell.
Right. It's only comedy
there,
when
right.
it comes to black people. You
right.
say something about
so,
gay folks, it's serious.
Well,
you know,
I agree with
you. I agree with you when you say that, you know, we open ourselves up for this, but that does still give them right to say whatever the hell they say. Now, let me say this. What if I made a joke and say, hey, Joan Rivers, don't go in the kitchen's oven in there. I'll be called anti-Semitic real quick, and they'll go after me and try to destroy me. But when you say that Mrs. Obama, first they said she was a black nationalist. She was a terrorist. Now she's trying to control our children's diets. Now she's a trans. And the thing is, whether Chris Rock and them say whatever they say, let us deal with Chris Rock and them. But we need to deal with them as well, because they didn't got to the point now. They say things and hide behind it. Even the gay people that claim that their issues are issues, you catch them on comments such as jokes about us. When they talk about Mr. and Mrs. Obama, whether we agree with them or not, the Obamas are a proxy. They really are talking about black women. But the irony is they try to look like black women. They want to sing like black women. They want to dress like black women, but yet you say our women like men. That rubs me the wrong way. That's why I keep telling our brothers and sisters that we need to put to side this male-female crap that we've been going on for the last 40 years. We didn't start this. People outside of the community started, and it always goes back to that white woman. If you think about all the things the white women have been saying since the Obama's been in office, it's been them pushing this racism very hard. It's been white women going to the Supreme Court complaining about getting us to colleges. They just assume because you're black, you don't have the education. It's been white women pushing this stuff. And white men, well, I'm not saying they're angels or they're innocent, but it's a women push this, or at least Tate's, Sarah Palin, Hillary Clinton, all of them. Joan Rivers is going to hide behind, I'm an old woman, I'm a white woman, and I'm Jewish. I don't care when anybody call me anti-Semitic, they call me whatever they want today. When she said that, and she didn't miss a beat. You think I could call Hillary Clinton a carpet munching public or a bull dagger? They would destroy me, or at least try to destroy me. That's why I say any black woman, if y'all vote for Hillary Clinton, y'all are stuck on stupid. Because y'all have to remember what that woman said. She made a crack about Dr. King. You need to remember what her husband did to Sister Soldier. They destroyed Sister Soldier's career reputation back in the 90s. See, we don't know how that's why. Exactly. They did welfare reform. They did a lot to our people, and then they say attack Mrs. Obama. Look, I don't agree with Mrs. Obama praising Beyonce. I don't. That's her opinion. Rich people are going to stick up with rich people. But that's the only thing I got to complain about Mrs. Obama. I don't have a whole lot to complain about. But when they call her a tranny, I took that as offensive as a black man saying that our women are masculine. Our women are more manly than the men. I mean, look at TV. Every time you turn on, like on HBO, what's that show, True Blood? That show's on his last season. Every time you turn around, they got the black woman to carpet munching now, and they got the black man. All he do is sleep around with white guys. They are putting these images out here for our people to consume, and then when we push back, the first thing we say, well, you know what, we do this and we do that. No, we attack both parties at the same time. I'm not a fan of Chris Rock. When he did that movie, Napa or Good Hair or whatever, he was cracking on black women. He was cracking on. I told him, I said, he's cracking on y'all. But see, those sisters willing to get out of camera. Well, I paid $700 for it. Don't give me the ammunition. Because the moment the cameras came in that building, you're supposed to say, you can't come in here. When, like sister said, when we cracked on Dr. King, well, Ice Cube and them cracked on Dr. King, Rosa Parks, we'd open a floodgate. Now Sarah Sherman, she leaves off with a Dr. King crack. You think they would let me crack a joke about JFK getting his head blown off? No. See, like she said, we open the gates or we prop it open. Like we in the 90s when we're going to take the power back from the word nigger. There's a lot of things I want to take power from, but they're not that word. See, and Joan Rivers is a so-called Jew, and a lot of them have been the direct cause of our misery.
Boy. It's real talk. We have to ask. There's a lot of things we have to look at, and mainly of ourselves. You know, and seeing how, you know, what they're doing, you know, as far as with our music, and basically trying to bleed us out of what we created as far as with hip-hop and all different forms of music. We created rock and roll, but all of a sudden they, you know, bleached that genre, you know, figured that we didn't make it. Chuck Berry made that. You know, a lot of things that we did, you know, as far as contributions that we have, if we didn't have them, we'd still be 40, probably 50 years behind from where we are now. So it's like we're the most envied and most despised people in the same breath.
But we got a bunch of fools among us, man. We got a bunch of fools.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing. I keep telling people, when they do the NBA draft, don't think they have psychiatrists out there assessing the personalities of these ball players. Because you know, if they come in, the agents tell them, don't do this, don't go there. I mean, like, every time the NBA does something, you see ball players are supposed to grow up in the hood, but they don't. They always got a bunch of white kids around with basketball camps and stuff. These sports agents, these executives tell these, they know who to go get. They know who exactly to go get. They know that these people are not going to put up any fight. They're not going to say anything. Look how when Lil Wayne, they sold to Emmett Till. Lil Wayne is 30. He knows better. No media outrage. When Rick Ross said something about Somali, white women, it was all over TV. I'm like, wait a minute. Lil Wayne can crack a joke about Emmett Till, say, beat that pussy like Emmett Till, knowing that child was murdered, knowing that child was penis was cut off, put in his mouth, knowing that his eyes were gouged out, all that stuff. But you say, I'm going to give a female Somali, all the white women come out, and Rick Ross get his Reebok contract taken away. You know, it's all over the media. And then these rappers come out here and defend Justin Bieber and Floyd Mayweather and them. I'm like, these are not black men. These are punks. How can you defend Justin Bieber for all the crap he done said and done? But Chris Brown had one incident and y'all never let this brother live it down. I mean, and I didn't see not one black guy come out and defend him and pull him to the side and say, Chris, go sit down somewhere, man. See, we got a bunch of people among us who are just as dangerous and more dangerous than those who are racist. I mean, I watch the videos on YouTube, and I see certain YouTubers, and they say things out in public. I'm like, I wouldn't say that because you give it, I mean, like Sister said, we say things, and we give an openness to everybody. And then when they say it, the first thing they say, well, black people do it too. That's
well,
the first
that,
thing they say.
You know, we had to get a stop gap in there because you figure, I remember we mentioned something about, you know, who are the biggest hunters of these Italian mafia, you know, dudes, and it's Italians because it's about their image. You know, they're not playing that game. You're like, look, you know, we always get cast off, you know, these mafiosos, and that's not us. You know, that's basically, in some ways, they treat it as the hood booger element of their culture, whereas when it comes to us, it seems like the vast majority tend to embrace it, whether overtly or silently. They embrace it. Oh, well, you know, it is what it is. No, it shouldn't be. That's bad for business, especially our business. You know, running around here and basically popping out kids like Pez and basically, you know, allowing ourselves to be breastfed by the government, which at any time they take those financial training wheels off, I promise you, ladies, you couldn't sell enough pussy to sustain your bills for a month. You couldn't. You could not. And that's just being brutally honest with it. How do you allow that to be, you know, say you're a grown individual, male or female, but mainly females, to say I'm grown independent, but you're waiting on a check on the first of 15th. Or you're content with having a rent. It's $28 or $50, but in subsidized housing, and basically you have a curfew. You can't have mail company, and I've seen this myself. And you're getting an allowance, you know, kickback as far as like with every year, as far as like for the kids, and often spend it or encourage to spend it on frivolous shit, and not building anything.
You know, it's been done on purpose. And they're not even trying to hide it anymore. You know, like I said before, this stuff started before we were born. And I think our parents, somewhere along the 1970s and 80s, or at least most of the 80s, dropped the ball. because they was trying to live somebody else's existence or follow their lead, and we're suffering for it right now. I'm telling everybody that right now, people don't watch the news in your local state or municipality, they're trying to change the way you vote. They're trying to change the way you receive benefits because there are more Caucasians on public assistance.
Welfare.
But they got to keep they got to keep selling the image that black women are welfare queens, and somehow the black guy is in the corner waiting for her to bring the money home. If you knew how much these women are bringing home, you're surprised they're not out there on the corner selling their bodies. It's no wonder why some of them are out there moving man to man, because they can't survive. But let me remind y'all, Bill Clinton, y'all first so-called black president, did this. That's why I keep telling everybody, it doesn't matter Republican or Democrat, we haven't learned the game how to play people against each other. I mean, we didn't open the doors to everybody else. I mean, think about the so-called Jew, the gay, the Mexican, the Asian. They've come over and they've watched us. They've joined our movements. And then they got there, and now they belong in those groups where they turn around and tell us, oh, we can do this and do that. That's, and I'm telling you, black folk need to be angry about some of the things they're doing, like this illegal, excuse me, this immigration thing. This is going to affect our community more than anybody. I mean, I don't know if y'all noticed, the other day, with the 4th of July, normally if you go into like a McDonald's or somewhere, you see a number of Hispanics during the course of the day and evening. Well, that day, I saw a number of blacks. Oh, they brought the black employees out to work the holidays. But there are people that come over here don't know English who don't celebrate the holiday, but they're going to give them the holiday off. But you got blacks out there buying barbecue, and talking about the 4th of July. I mean, it's crazy how they do us, and they do it right in front of our people, and our people are just either too afraid or too blind to see it.
You know, this is a lot of, I
didn't mean to get all preachy on you, but it's just,
No, the thing is, like, we need to have more conversations like this unedited, you know, because we're not having enough. You know, it goes more than just, you know, on Sundays we have this talk. Whatever happened to having this around the table, you know, instead of being worried about being fearful of, you know, when you're in the company of your own people, you know, you have people sitting there trying to figure out what you're talking about. You know, this is where we have to have, you know, I look at the whole gender war conversation or antics, and I'm seeing a war semantics. It's often over the most silliest and most trivial of shit, personally. And if we're able to go forward, we have to sit there and look at everything that we're talking about and learn how to, like, be active listeners and get over some silly stuff. A lot of this stuff is not important or necessary.
But you know what, the gender war thing, black men and black women are fighting white people gender wars. Black men and black women, they had no problem up to 1966. Black men wasn't telling the black woman that she had to be barefoot and pregnant. You know what, the black woman wasn't telling, it's just when the war was going on, and the white kids, they want to go to Vietnam, and they want to have freedom and do certain things. They indoctrinated some of our people, and now we're paying for it. I mean, I don't know, man. It's just that when I hear brothers and sisters jaw-jacking about who's this and who's that, why don't we ever just say, you know what, we both played a part in it. The black men allowed it to happen, and the women fell for it. You know what I mean? We're fighting white people wars. White men the one who was telling their women they couldn't do anything. You know, they was the one subjugating their women to that type of treatment. I mean, it just, we take on everybody else's wars and their plights, and then we say, hey, we're being mistreated. Are you sure? I don't think so. I mean, they keep coming out with these studies about racism. Black people don't need no damn study. We already know it's racism. You know? We know unemployment's high in our community. You know, people just don't want to listen, but I keep telling y'all, if black folks get off their butts and start controlling their dollar, knowing their history, and voting wisely, they're going to put us back in bondage. Now, I know y'all say, well, they can't put us in bondage. That's what they're building prisons for. They can't make us not uneducated. That's why they dumb us down in schools. They're putting us back in bondage.
That's why we need to support, you know, not just Dr. Umar's schools, but that kind of education as well, because you figure if someone has a plan, a positive plan forward for not just you and your children, but us as individuals, then that should be supported. That should mean something. I mean, what is the point of going out and squandering your money in a lot of false hope doctrine? And there's all forms of it. Why you want to label it? That's what it is. And you're not getting anything from it. You know, you get some who go to church and treat the pulpit as a slot machine, which you shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what they do. Or you have some who are out there just basically tricking off on frivolous things that, you know, they're going to fade out within a season or the following year. You know, everyone wants to wear their wealth around their neck, but then they don't want to walk in support, sustain their wealth as they should, buying land, you know, buying stores, you know, conducting business as we should be. It's about, you know, I got these red bottoms, but then, like, your credit is like the bottom of the hell out. What's the point?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this
and
is,
you know, I'm glad you brought that up. I was just thinking about that, about credit. You know, here it is. Everybody has an ATM card, right? That means everybody got money in their banks, right? I don't know why we haven't come together as a community and said, you know what? We got money in your bank, but yet we have nobody that looks like us is able to get a business loan. And the first time they pull at your credit, what does my personal got to do with my business? Now, I know people say, well, if you can't maintain your personal, maybe you made a mistake when you was 21, 22. Since you constantly be paying for that, and, you know, people lose businesses every day. That's why they have business issues and they have to wear the right things off. I mean, in our community, you know, they have it's not a plus of supermarkets. I remember when I was a kid, you had a bunch of supermarkets. When the white supermarkets started losing money, they shut the ones in the black community down so blacks would go out to the white neighborhoods. Then when the white supermarkets made money, they went to these new developers and made even bigger supermarkets. They closed them down. We see these things going around us, but we don't say anything. I mean, here it is, you know, blacks buy cars too. But it seems like they only want to put used car lots in our neighborhoods where they can give us these outrageous interest rates where the same finance companies that deal with the Chrysler and Chevy and Ford, you know what I mean? And we sit back and we allow it. And I'm sitting to myself, wait a minute. You can't go in our community, you see a used car lot, a church, a Walgreens, a McDonald's. That's what you see in our community. Then they get the Asian, put the bogus shoe store up in the community, knockoffs, and then they might be lucky to put a Foot Lock in the neighborhood, you know. And then certain businesses don't even want to come in our neighborhood, but yet blacks go out to these other communities and make them their tax base. If we would stop spending our money with everybody or be a little bit wiser, we can control our destiny because it's too much money that's coming. Going out of the black community. Not coming, I mean going out of the black community, I should say. I mean, you know, people say they hate us, but if blacks stop spending money, like Walmart, Walmart's not cheap anymore. You go to Walmart, you feel like somebody bit you over. If blacks stop going to Walmart, Walmart had to change their tune. They had to up people's wages. But see, we don't know how to play the game anymore. We keep waiting for somebody to come along and leave us. It's not going to happen. Because we didn't disrespect the men and women that could have led us or wanted to lead us, we attacked them. So now anybody that got any ideas to put forth, they're afraid they're going to be attacked. We put all our eggs into the Obama basket, and look what happened. We threw all these people under the bus the last 6 years. I mean, Tavis Smiley and Professor West, Reverend White, they all warned us. And we said, oh, y'all going to sit your asses down somewhere. Now we're sitting, he's getting close to the end of his term. Because next year he's going into lame duck presidency. So basically, he's just going to be the president in name only. The Congress and Senate has the power. So now they're going to start passing laws. I mean, look what they did the other day with the birth control thing with the Hobby Lobby. That has a domino effect on everything. And it's going to affect the black community more so. Because then now you're going to have jobs that do pay for health care. They're going to start telling women, we don't want to do that now. And so what happened? Women can't afford birth control, and condoms are not 100%. You're going to start trying to use other means of protection. And then pregnancy, I'm telling you, pregnancy is going to jump up in our community. Watch what's going to happen. And abortion clinics are going to start popping up real quick, more so in our community, because they're not in our community now, because that's been a lot they've been putting. You know, there's a bunch of abortion clinics in the black community. They're in the white communities. Now you, then you're going to have to be back on abortion like they used to do back in the 60s. There's going to be a whole bunch of problems. And I'm telling you, it's because we sat back and we thought that because President Obama was in office that he's going to change. People have to understand the president is like a figurehead. It's the Congress and Senate. The local municipalities have set the tone. But see, we're too busy praying and hoping, want to live like those people on TV. We got to play like fools. Now we're sitting there scratching our head. But I'm not going to lie to you, there's days where I sit back and say, you know what, I'm not going to do these videos anymore. I'm just going to focus on me. But then I realize that's what people want you to do, because I can't live my life knowing that I could have said something, because it's going to affect me too in a way, because my property taxes are going to go up to pay for this crap. Your taxes are going to go up. Those kids is going to went out some semblance of balance. They're going to grow up and become adults. Everything has a cause and effect, and a lot of people don't want to hear it, don't want to see it until it's too late.
Well, most definitely, we're going to have leading these conversations as they're heating, because we're running out of time. And yeah. You have so many people who want to tap dance around the conversation and want to put past the buck of accountability and actually for progression into other people's hands. And then they'll wave the number one phone finger whenever we do accomplish something. Like, yeah, we did that. we can't afford that. So here's a challenge to everybody listening abroad. Not only to share this show, but actually share your ideas. Share your abilities to become solutions instead of week in and week out asking for them. Because when it comes to success, you have to take it. You can't beg for it. And you can't sell your soul for it and expect that to be successful for long term, because you're serving an ulterior motive or agenda, especially against your own. So that's the show for today. But we're going to continue this conversation, not just off the air, but next week, but daily. Because if you're really serious about forward progression, you're not only going to talk about it, you're going to walk it forward. Or otherwise, you can sit on the sidelines and whatever happens, happens. So thank you, Mr. Superboy, for coming in on time, going at knowledge. And on behalf of Shonda, the Platinum Queen, Chili Chill, and the Platinum Queens West family, check you out next week.
Yeah, have a good one.
All right.